Hello, everyone, and welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Your host, Paula Vail. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I have an absolute fantastic guest with us today. Let me introduce Scott Wilhite. He is an award-winning commercial filmmaker turned social entrepreneur, and I'm going to have Scott share with us exactly what that is. His means is he now uses his talents to help relieve unnecessary suffering, and nothing is more unnecessary than being unhappy and dissatisfied when you don't have to. This is going to be such a great show. First off, Scott, I want to say welcome. Welcome so much.
Well, thank you, Paula. Thank you for having me on your show. And I'm so glad that we connected. This is awesome what you're doing.
I love it. I love it. And I'm so happy you're here, Scott. Happiness is our theme.
It is our theme. And I am so excited to talk to people, especially people who are not naturally happy. You have a wonderful talent, I believe, for being naturally happy. And for the mere mortals among us like me, happiness, you know, sometimes it takes some work. And I've discovered some amazing things, and I'm excited to share it with your listeners.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Please share with us a bit of your background and what brought you to where you're at today, Scott.
Oh, you bet. So I am, like you mentioned in the opening, I'm a commercial filmmaker. And ever since I was a kid, I wanted to do that. I wanted to create, you know, stories and short films and things like that. And I was living my dream. but it was interesting, those, you know, for 10 of my most creative years, they were also 10 of my darkest. You know, the better I got at my craft, the more discontent and dissatisfied I was with life. You know, I was always focused on the negative. I was always focused on things that could go wrong or did go wrong. And you know, I was frustrated with budgets and time and deadlines and management and all these things. And it just worked at me. But I figured that that's just how I was. You know, I thought this is just what you get from being a creative. You know, you're a tortured artist, and that's what life is for guys like me. Well, the most amazing, fortunate accident happened to me, and that was I was so frustrated with how things were, I quit my job.
Wow.
Which was just totally crazy. I didn't have another job to go to, but I knew I didn't want to be there anymore because it just had, you know, it had boiled up to that point. And it was the last day that I was there. You know, I gave him notice and everything. Anyway, I bumped into this guy, and he had this little book under his arm, and he was excitedly talking about it, and he mentioned it was about the science of happiness. And oh my gosh, there was something inside of me that just leaped out. I wanted whatever it was that was in that book. The science of happiness, there's science to this. Well, I ran to the bookstore, got it, and I started consuming every book I could find on the subject. And what it is it was about positive psychology. And if you haven't heard about that, it is like Harvard started it out, and UCal Berkeley is involved, and University of Pennsylvania has a big program. Anyway, what they do is they study uncommonly happy people. They find out what is really working. How do you thrive? And in doing all of these studies, they have found that little simple interventions can make amazing differences in our lives. And so for me, I started doing that immediately. And my story is that I was temporarily forever changed. You know, because I found it matters what you focus on. Mm. I found that I could actually determine my happiness. I could change things in my life. But I also found that I couldn't keep it up. It was so easy for me to drift back into my old ways of thinking, just because of years of pessimism and years of negative thinking, you know, had just conditioned me to like that was my natural state.
Yes.
But but I had experienced this amazing joy, and so I wanted it. So that's what got me to what I'm doing now. I create tools and systems to help people mentally condition themselves so that they can enjoy a happier, more fulfilling life. And so I know that you kind of questioned at the beginning, what is a social entrepreneur? You know, we know what an entrepreneur is.
Yes.
Well, I first heard about that term back in the early 2000s, end of last century, with all these people that made a lot of money in the dot-com business when that was really big. And they made all this money, and then they wanted to have a purpose-filled life. And so then they went off and they were building schools in Africa, and they were doing different things, but they weren't just doing it in the traditional route. They took the skills and talents that they had developed in the business world and the internet world and used those to help alleviate society's most vexing problems. Mm-hmm. So that's the road I'm taking now, is like, how can I use the talents I have to help empower other people to change their own lives, you know, and to have these skills and these talents and these resources. Does that make sense?
I love it. I love it. On my office door, Scott, I have a sign that says, "If I choose to be happy, no one can stop me." And I just,
that is awesome.
I love it. I love it. I personally think gratitude is really a great step in finding our happiness as well, because,
it absolutely is.
You know, focusing on that. I'd like to ask you something I saw, and I think this is so fun. I'd love to learn more about this. You are the creator of the Feed Your Happy app. Tell us about that. That sounds so fun.
It is really fun. If you have an iPhone, you can go right now to the App Store, to Apple's App Store, and you can download that. And what it is it's the system that I used for myself so that I could dig myself out of this hole, you know, that I was in. You know, I was so discouraged and everything. So when I learned about positive psychology and then I drifted back into my old ways of thinking, I thought, oh, I have got to change this. You know, I've got to work on it. I've got to focus on it. And so I created this system where I would have, anyway, I would work on these things every single day. I'd have like different activities, different, you know, exercises to do. And if I focused on that just a few minutes a day, each day, it helps me to be more deliberate about my life, you know, rather than seeing how the day goes, I was more intentional about it. So yeah, the app is really cool. I can tell you about the features, but what it really does is gives you a tool with reminders and all sorts of stuff, so that you could focus on what's going right in your life and enjoy all the benefits that come from living a positive life.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So it guides you in, you know, helping you focus on the good and the positive, which of course is going to affect your happiness. I love it, Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, now Scott, you say that happiness is a skill. Why is that an important concept for people to grasp?
Well, you know, this was the thing that really changed me. You talked just a moment ago about gratitude being so important. Mm-hmm. And it is. It absolutely is. When you read any of the studies that all the researchers are doing, it seems like everybody who is uncommonly happy, they're grateful people, you know. And anyway, when I was reading through all the research, I remember one day I stumbled across one of the researchers, and I can't remember, you know, who said it, but they said you can't be grateful and unhappy at the same time.
Oh, I love that.
Oh. And I thought, oh my gosh, that means that if I am unhappy, there's something I can do about it. If I can get myself into a state of gratitude, mm-hmm. suddenly I can control my happiness. If I'm just sort of happy, maybe I can get myself into a higher state of gratitude and I can elevate that happiness. Anyway, once I understood that, then I realized that happiness was in my control because it was a skill. If I could be good at gratitude, at being deliberately grateful, then then suddenly, you know, I wasn't the victim of my circumstances. I was in charge.
Yes.
And anyway, that's the thing that started me out, that little concept right there. You can't be grateful and unhappy at the same time.
Oh, isn't it exciting, Scott, that each of us can make a difference, can, you know, if control's the right word, our happiness and where we go. We have the ability to do that. It doesn't come from what's outside of us. Really, it comes from within us, would you say?
Oh, totally.
Yes.
Well, I have a story about that.
Great.
Years ago, I was filming in Cambodia. We were sent there to film the poor, destitute, sad people of Cambodia for this humanitarian project. It was a series of films, short films, and I remember being packed in this little minivan, and, you know, I'm packed in with the film crew and boxes of camera gear and all this stuff, and it was so hot and so humid that it would affect the camera. Anyway, it was a terrible thing to have the air conditioner on, and then to pull the camera out, it would wreck it. So we had to have the windows down, so we're just sweating and uncomfortable, and I'm miserable, and, you know, this is back before I knew what I know now. I was complaining, you know, I was just bugged about everything, and then I looked out the window, and, you know, I was thinking, okay, what are we here for? Okay, we're here to film the poor, destitute, sad people, you know, to help these North Americans open up their hearts and their wallets and give to these great programs. Well, as I looked out, I realized I had a big problem, because I saw a lot of poor, destitute people. But I didn't see sad people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really interesting. Whenever I'd be looking at them and watching them and observing them. But when I do that, you know how you can always kind of feel if someone's staring at you?
Yeah.
Well, they could feel me looking at them, and they'd look over and our eyes would connect and their faces would light up with just the most amazing smiles.
Yes.
And I remember looking back at them and kind of faking a smile back, you know, that life is really as good for me as it seems.
Yes.
You know, here I am, in comparison, a rich, you know, North American.
Yes.
But I could see in their eyes, I could see in their faces, they had something amazing. They had this happiness that just seemed so natural. And I remember at that time just feeling this intense desire that I wanted that.
Yes.
But I also know that began kind of a 10-year journey of seeking for happiness, but I sought it in all the wrong ways. You know,
yes.
I thought it would be in the next big gig or the next big award or, you know, a bigger house or a newer car or
yes.
whatever. And those things, they actually worked against me and made me
mm-hmm.
more dissatisfied and more discouraged. So,
yes.
Yeah, once we learn, yeah, that happiness is within us and that there are things that we could do, it changes the game.
Powerful statement, Scott. And I have a similar story. I have been a Reiki practitioner for about 11 years now. And I went to Peru for my master Reiki training. And, you know, what you see and the poverty and, well, we had found out about a school that was way up in the mountains. These children, it was like kindergarten to sixth grade age. Some would walk an hour to 2 hours to get to school every day. So we brought with us supplies from the U.S. And so we had it scheduled. Our guide took us up there one day. We took fresh fruit, the supplies. These children danced for us. They sang. They were so happy to have us there. But Scott, as I went around the school, walked around, the conditions of that school.
Yeah.
I mean, I was crying in the restroom. The children are standing in urine. I mean, and it just made me cry, but yet I had a big smile on my face. I didn't want the children to see I was crying.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful and so touching. And these children were so happy. You know, they didn't realize, you know, their surroundings were what they were. They were just savoring life and happy, and they were so grateful for these school supplies and this fresh fruit. it's something, everyone should realize or experience. It does. It changes your mindset. It really does.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And it's so crazy how we get caught up in our world to where we're so obsessed over these things that we think will make us happy.
Yes.
And they turn out to be so unsatisfying.
Yes.
Which just fills us with more frustration. But yeah, it's the simple things and things that everybody right now has an opportunity to do, such as, like you mentioned, gratitude. You just talked about savoring the moment, taking time to relish and really enjoy what you have right now. You know, so many little things that we can do right now, whether you have money or not.
Exactly. When we base our happiness on stuff, we may get the stuff that we're searching for, but you know what? Then we think of other stuff we may want, and we're still chasing the happiness.
We get caught in the squirrel cage, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, I love that, the squirrel cage. Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Well, with the idea that we can focus on the positive, which is so fantastic, what would you tell the listeners, what advice would you give them, what to do about the negative stuff out there, the negative stuff that's in their lives?
Oh, absolutely. You know, people, when they first hear about, what I'm doing and, this idea of focusing on the positive and stuff, immediately they think that, okay, what you're talking about is like putting on rose-colored glasses and only looking at the positive and pretending that the bad stuff doesn't happen and kind of living this delusional life. Well, really, it's that couldn't be further from the truth. What we're talking about doing is becoming more awake and aware, more alive, really, because you see both the good and the bad, but you have that opportunity to choose because you're more conscious, because you're more aware. And so you're able to see the good in it. And here's another story that kind of gives a little example about that. I call it the fortunate flat tire. Well, I was leaving my town, and I live up in the mountains above Sundance, if you've heard of the Sundance Film Festival. And
yes.
It takes about 45 minutes to get down to the valley, and I had this appointment with this person I had never met at a huge organization. And I thought, if I get this new client, this is going to, set, we'll be set. This is going to be great. First time meeting her, I hadn't met her before, so first impressions matter. Well, as I'm leaving my town, I notice my tire warning light comes on in my car. So quickly I pull off the highway and I hop out of my car and I look around, and sure enough, in the front driver's side tire is this silver screw head sticking out. Well, I lose it, because, this means all is lost. There's no way I can make it down there in time. And, I start focusing on all the things going wrong with my life right now and what that, the domino effect of that. And then I took a moment and I took a deep breath and I said, wait a second, what have you learned, Scott? And I thought back to the training of the things that I've been reading and studying. And I thought, what is really going on here? And I looked at that little light there in my dash and I realized something amazing. That light didn't tell me that I had a flat tire. That light told me I was going to have a flat tire. And that makes all the difference. And so, quickly I was able to call my daughter. I had her meet me at the tire store. We switched cars, and I was able to get on the road with just like 20 minutes lost. And then, I have, because we live in this amazing day and age where we have cell phones, I'm able to call down to this new contact, tell her what just happened, and say, I want to meet you so much. I'm going to be there even though I'm going to be 20 minutes late. And so, that worked out. And the whole time I'm driving, I have 45 minutes to think. I am thinking about how fortunate my life is because I have a car that doesn't tell me, that is so smart, it tells me I'm going to have a flat tire, and it warned me in advance, and I didn't get stuck out in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't have to change the tire with a, you know, freeway car zipping around, and I didn't wreck my rim, and all of these amazing things. What an amazing, fortunate thing to happen. And so as I come in and I meet her, I come from that state of mind, that presence, and yes, that awareness. And really, it was, you know, I mean, the bad stuff happened. You know, I mean, yes, as far as I was late, I had something that could have messed up my car and everything. But because I chose to focus on the positive, I was able to see a lot more options than had I just focused on the negative, if yes, that makes sense to you.
Yes, yes, it does. I love that. What would you recommend to someone that feels they are just at rock bottom, you know, in their lives and depressed? And what tools or what would you say to them to help them bounce back?
Yeah. You know what? I feel that I have been there so many times. Rock bottom is a terrible place to be. And I've been surprised when I've hit rock bottom, I've often found that I could even go lower, you know, but then I would often, you know, get consumed with just everything going wrong around me. The thing that changed it for me, that I would recommend everybody start to do right now. It's so simple. It's so easy. And it can totally change your life. It's amazing. And that is to start a habit that each day you will write down three fortunate things that happened to you. And so, you know, and I tell people to make this as a commitment to themselves that they will not go to bed at night until they write down three fortunate things that happened that day. And when I first heard about this exercise, I didn't believe that it would work. I didn't believe that it would make a difference. And I didn't do it. I told myself, well, I'll just think about being grateful more and stuff. But it wasn't until I actually started writing it down that I noticed the difference. And what happened was for a week, kind of nothing changed. And then I remember it was like a week later. I was really tired and I wanted to go to bed. And I was frustrated because I couldn't think of my three things that I had committed to myself that I would write down. I couldn't think of anything good that happened that day. And I got really tired and cranky. Well, the next day I said, well, I'm not going to wait until the end of the day. So I'm going to be looking for it. And then I remember I was driving through the canyon again. And this guy pulled over so that I could pass him. Normally, when you're going through this section of the canyon, if you get behind someone slow, boy, it takes forever. Well, he pulled over, and I thought, oh, that's what I could write about today. And suddenly, I felt something inside because I felt gratitude. And what gratitude is, I'm kind of jumping around here, but what gratitude is it's feeling it's the feeling of is recognizing that you are the recipient of deliberate kindness. Aww. And that's what I felt. He was kind enough to move over so that I could pass him. And suddenly I felt something. And what's more is I realized that these tiny, small, fortunate things happen all the time, yes, but I wasn't aware of them. And yes, so the more I started to condition myself, and you can do this too. If you are feeling rock bottom, if you are feeling so down and so, you know, life is so bad, start doing this. Start finding three fortunate things each day. And as you do that, you will start to recognize this pattern of little tiny kind things that other people will do for you or that will just, yes, naturally happen. And as you start to recognize this pattern, you will realize how fortunate your life really is, and it will help you get out of the dregs, you know, that you're down in.
Yes.
So that's what I'd recommend people to do. They could start doing that right now.
I love that, Scott. And, you know, when we do an act of kindness or compassion, it benefits us. What it does for us let alone the person that we're doing this act for. You know, it really is a huge statement. I love it. Well, everyone, we have to pop out for a commercial, but Scott and I will be right back. Thank you so much, Scott.
You're welcome.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I am here today with Scott Wilhite. We are talking about happiness and focus. This is just a fantastic show. Scott is just great, giving us some great pointers on everyday life and where we can take ourselves. And I do want to mention to everyone, please check out my television show at wbtvn.tv. It is called Choices, Finding Your Joy. So the happiness is continuing to spread. The joy is continuing to spread. So please join me. So welcome back, Scott. I'm just so happy with this show today. It's so fun.
Isn't it great to talk about this stuff? Isn't it amazing what is going on today?
Yes, it just puts a smile on your face. I would love you to share with the listeners, please, your website, contact information, and I would love to know a little bit about your book, The Seven Core Skills of Everyday Happiness. Please tell us about that, Scott.
Yeah. If you're looking for my website, you're looking to connect with me, you can find that at encourage.life, and that's spelled a little different. It's the letter N, the word courage.life. You know, that's kind of a different domain name. Mm-hmm. Instead of .com, it's .life. But if you go there, you'll find lots of tools and resources to really strengthen your, you know, it's mental strengthening conditioning that you'll find there, so that you can make this a consistent thing in your life. I wrote a book. It's called The Seven Core Skills of Everyday Happiness. You can get it on Amazon, and they will deliver it right to your door, or you can get it on Audible and listen to it while you drive, or you can even get it on Kindle. But what it does is I've taken the research I mentioned in kind of the earlier part of the show, how these top-tier universities, Harvard, Stanford, UCal, Berkeley, the University of Pennsylvania, how they have been studying positive psychology. You know, they have been looking at what is it that causes people to truly thrive. And so I started consuming all the research that they were spitting out, and I realized these consistent patterns that kept coming out, and realized that there are seven core skills, that if you got good at these seven skills, then you could spiral up your happiness whenever you want and in whatever circumstance you're in. So that's what the book is about. It you know, kind of aggregates some of this, some of the research by these, you know, happyologists.
I love it. Happyologists.
And just helps us, you know, put it into kind of story format so that you could, you know, apply these principles into your life each day.
Scott, give us a few examples of these core skills.
Okay. There are seven, and they're really simple. And I do have to tell you that they are deceptively simple, because, you know, you may hear them and you may go, that just seems too easy. So let me tell you what they are, and then I can also point you to some of the research and some of the things that they've discovered, and you can kind of see how it can work in your life. But the first skill is gratitude, and I call it be grateful. The second skill is called savor the now, and that there's a lot to that. It's a lot of mindfulness. It's a lot of, you know, being present, being where you're at right now, and also about, you know, when you savor something, you want it to really last. You want to really relish it. So, you know, kind of maximizing the joy that you find in each little moment. The third skill is called lift someone else. It's the service component, you know, and so many things in life, you know, the human connection really matters. And when we have a purpose in life, when we are making a contribution, that's when we feel a lot of joy. The fourth skill is called Don't Worry, and that's kind of a mental detox skill. It's how you get rid of stress, anxiety, and worry that just naturally creep into our lives, but it helps you to be more intentional about getting rid of that stuff.
Yes.
The fifth skill is to foster positive relationship. You know, so we just human connections just so matter, and so as we work on our relationships and improve them and relish them the way that we should, that's, you know, that helps our happiness so much too. And then improve daily is skill number six, and which is interesting because we always think that the end goal is what brings us happiness, but it's actually found in the striving. It's going towards our goal, which is where we find that joy. And then skill number seven is begin again, which there's a lot of different meanings to that. One is that we naturally plateau. And so in any personal development aspect, but there are things that you can do to, you know, to spiral up and to get to the next level. But also, you know, there's a lot of great things that happen when we start over, you know, mm-hmm. when we fail or, you know, which is just really a temporary setback. And then when we begin again. So those are the seven core skills. And check out my book. It goes into more in-depth about each one.
Yes. I love it. I love it. So basically you have your book. Do you do any kind of counseling? Do you do speaking engagements? What all do you do, Scott? Yes.
Okay. Well, I do some speaking and some limited counseling. Mostly what I do is I have packaged this up. You know, I mentioned in kind of the first part of the hour that I was temporarily forever changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing when I learned these things, how quickly I was able to get out of the funk that I was in. And, you know, my kids started calling me Happy Dad, which,
aww.
You know, I mean, that was really cool. But at the same time, I was thinking, wow, what was I like before?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I realized that I was a terrible ogre, and I had no idea that I was like that, and that I, you know, this just negative ball of energy was affecting others so much. But you know, quickly I was able to get out of that, but then almost as quickly I found myself drifting back into my old ways of thinking. So what I have for people is I have these systems and tools to help people work on it all the time. And so if you go to my website, encourage.life, you can also go to gethappynow.life, and you can get into my 12-week system, which is an online system where people can work on this 10 minutes a day. It's all video-based, works on any device. But they learn something, and then they're giving something that they could apply, an activity that they could apply in their life. And so they are really conditioning themselves each day, you know, mental strength training, and in this way, they're able to take control of their mindset rather than just being dictated to the conditioning that they've had through the years, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So it's a little something every day. Oh, I love that. That is fantastic.
10 minutes at a time.
Oh, that is a great idea. I love it. What would you say to the listeners? You know, what would be your best advice, a little something they could think about every day to have everyday happiness? What would you say would be the top things you'd recommend that they could do beginning today, listening to this show?
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing is I would have them ask a question to themselves, and I know it sounds like a bonehead dumb question, but really there's a lot of depth in it, and it's to ask yourself, am I willing to be happier? And at first you go, oh, well, of course I'm willing. absolutely unwilling. I want to be happy. But then if you think about it a little bit deeper, okay, well, then how willing are you? Are you willing to spend 10 minutes of a day working on this?
Yes.
Are you willing to write in a gratitude journal each day? Are you willing to do these activities that will change this? Are you willing to take time out for yourself and to spend a little time meditating or serving others or doing these different things? You know, if you're willing to do that, then, you know, then you can be happier. It's kind of like, you know, I remember I bumped into a guy one time and we were listening to this amazing piano player. And he said, oh, I wish I could do that. And I said, no, you really don't. Because you wouldn't be willing to put in all the time and the effort to work mm-hmm. on that, to practice and practice and practice in order to be an amazing piano player like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we start right now and if we spend just a little bit of time each day just making that small incremental improvement, those small incremental improvements will add up, and that's where you start to change and make it a lifestyle.
Yes.
Because it's the lifestyle that really matters. It's not, you know, it's not a single day at the gym or a couple of, you know, sit-ups or push-ups. It's this consistent, you know, routine of exercise and health, you know, that make that lifestyle that helps our physical bodies. Well, you can do the same thing with your mental state.
Oh, yes. I love that. I love that. That little bit every day, it's almost like working a muscle that's going to become stronger and more automatic.
Oh, exactly. You know, you think about how many of your reactions are so automatic.
Mm-hmm.
I have a good friend who was an Air Force fighter pilot. And while he was training, he showed me his flight suit and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really interesting. On his pants, he had this little flat board, like built into the suit with a screw hole kind of thing. And he said that's where they put their flight book, and they have this book with them all the time. And so they are always training what to do in case of emergency, you know, and there are certain things that you do, you know, shutting off the engine, you know, all these different things, and you have to do it in a certain sequence. Well, they would practice it so much that it became so instinctive that if an accident or an emergency were to happen, they would naturally react in a certain way and go through it.
Yes.
Well, another pilot once said that, you know, we think that when we are confronted with a great challenge, we will rise to the level of our we'll rise to the challenge. And he says, if we don't, we actually fall back to the level of our training. And so, you know, if you think about where you're at, or, you know, whoever are you as a listener, if you think where you're at right now, you know, times are going to get hard occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
If it's good right now, it'll get hard. If it's hard right now, it's going to get good. You know, it ebbs and flows. But if you conditionally train yourself so that you will be more resilient when those hard times come, then you can prevent yourself from really spiraling down and getting down deeper into a pit that you don't want to be in. So
yes.
That's kind of a suggestion that I would give people, is that consistent each day training for yourself.
I love that. I love that. Any suggestions, Scott, on how we can protect ourselves, or let's say just making an effect, you know, all the negativity in the world? How do we protect ourselves from that negativity? I mean, we want to be aware of what's going on, but that can really bring us down. What's your recommendations to help us with that?
You know, it is all on what you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing a lot of studying on this part right now, and I love this part. But really what we focus on matters. In fact, I was just today, my daughter is speaking at the State House. she is a sophomore in high school, and she's speaking to the legislatures to help them consider laws that will help protect the youth against against these e-cigarettes, and they're being flavored and all sorts of stuff that's really enticing to young people. And of course, when you get hooked when you're young, then you know, you have this addiction for years. So anyway, she's going and speaking there today, and as I was talking to her, I remembered when I first was, you know, studying about all this positive psychology stuff, and I was thinking, wow, this is cool. I wonder if it really works. And on that day, she had a piano recital. Well, she had been a little bit lazy, and she had not been consistent on her practicing like she should. And now, in just a couple of hours, it was all going to be revealed how little practice she had done. And so she was embarrassed, and she was in tears. I could hear her, you know, playing in the other room, practicing, and she just couldn't get through this one song. Mm-hmm. And it was just frustrating her. So I came in and I sat down with her and we talked for a minute, and I just started talking to her about everything she was good at. I mean, she was so good at soccer, and she's, you know, think about how good you are as a goalie. You're amazing. You don't let anything by. And I talked to her about how good she was with her grades and, you know, all these different things. And she's a phenomenal reader, and she's so empathetic and compassionate with others. And we just talked about these things. And she said, yeah, that's right. You know, and she was feeling pretty good about herself. And I said, hey, do you mind playing this song for me one more time? And as she played it all the way through nearly flawlessly. And the only thing that changed was she was focused on good things about herself.
Oh, I love
it. I'm just really amazed. And so anyway, I'm doing a bunch of research right now, looking at all these different studies where people do that, you know, when you focus on what's going right in your life, mm-hmm. how that impacts everything else.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that, Scott. Oh my goodness. That is so fantastic. Well, we have about 5 minutes left in the show. What do you want to leave the listeners with today? What do you want to put out there for them to think about today?
Well, you know, the main thing I want them to know is that it is absolutely possible for them to change their minds, to change their lives, to change their circumstances and their situation. And a lot of times people don't see it. And here's a story that may be interesting to you. Years ago, I went on a filming trip to Mongolia. And on this filming trip, we were following these doctors who were doing this amazing thing. They were restoring sight to the blind. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't know about these amazing advances in technology to where you could give blind people their sight. That's amazing. Well, it turns out that it wasn't amazing at all. In fact, it was quite commonplace. What they were doing was they were removing the cataracts that had built up in these people's eyes, and they had built up so much that they became so clouded over and that the people had just lost their sight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you think about cataract removal in our country, in the United States, you know, I mean, that is so commonplace. That's like going to the grocery store.
Yes, yes.
You know, you got to get some cataracts removed. You go down there, zoop, zoop, and you're done. Well, for these people who didn't know that that was possible or that that's what was causing their blindness, they just lived thinking that's just how life is for me.
Oh, my gosh.
And they lived for years in darkness. Well, the important part about this story is this is likely what's happening to you. You know, if you are feeling discouraged, if you're feeling disheartened, if you're feeling life is harder for you than it has to be, likely you've got some mental cataracts that have built up over the years. And don't beat yourself up. You know, don't think you've done anything wrong. This is just something that naturally has happened. But just as simple as it was for this simple surgery to remove the cataracts from these people's eyes and the next day they could see clearly, just as simply as that, you can do different things to clear up your mental vision and to be able to see things more clearly. And as you do that, I just want you to know it's possible, you know,
yes.
and that it, you know, that there are these easy things that you can do, and if you do them consistently, then you can really get it to stick.
Yes.
But yeah, I wanted you to know that.
Oh, such a powerful message, Scott. It really is. You know, and it's so inspiring and so wonderful, you know, to share with the listeners the potential of the happiness that they have out there that they can bring into their own lives. It really is beautiful.
Yeah, that's amazing. We get so focused on our circumstances thinking that's what has to change.
Yes.
And we tell ourselves these lies that, you know, I'll be happy when,
mm-hmm.
you
yes.
know, all these things which, you know, just tells ourselves that we're not happy now.
Yes.
But there are so many things that we can do. And it really is about becoming more awake, more conscious, more aware of what's around us. And the possibilities are out there for you. So if you're struggling, if you're having a hard time, just know that there's hope. Know that there are things that you can do. Know that there are resources out there. And I hope you get that and are able to implement those in your life.
Yes, yes. And your program, you know, what did you say it was, 12 weeks? I just think that is just a fantastic program to have out there, Scott.
It's not like it takes 12 weeks to get happier at all.
Yeah.
But if you're working consistently, you know, if you think about any program that you're doing, but I have a good friend who's a psychiatrist, and he now practices positive psychology in mm-hmm. everything that he does. Well, he blurbed for me on my book, and he said, you know, so many people are looking for happiness, and he said,
yes.
it's like looking for piano skills. Well, stop looking, stop searching, and start working on it.
Yes.
You know? There are things that you can do. And so once you understand that, then suddenly, you know, are you willing to be happier? And you ask yourself that question, well, there are things you can do. And anyway, I hope people get those kind of resources and are able to be more deliberate and intentional on how their day's going.
Oh, Scott, I love it. I'm going to order copies of your book for friends and family because it's something everyone should have a copy of. You have just been such a delight today and such an inspiration. I just want to thank you for how many lives you affect and make a difference in. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Well, thank you so much, Paula. I've appreciated being on with you, and I appreciate meeting people like you who embody happiness and joy so well. You've worked on these skills so long that you are a natural now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just loving what we do means so much. Well, thank you, everyone. I want to say see you next show. Love, hugs, and blessings. Scott, love, hugs, and blessings to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.